Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. Welcome back to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, and I am tickled pink to be with you this week. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you may notice I'm in a different place, and I am. I'm in my car this week, but if you're just cruising along, doing whatever you're doing, driving, painting something, whatever, you will never know that I am in a different location today. So, this week, we are going to talk about how important is it what you say to yourself? We're going to talk about the power of the words that we choose to say to ourselves. So in our last episode, we talked about the power of using our words to encourage other people. The power in our tongue literally contains life and death. The power of life and death are in our tongue. That's Proverbs 18:21. And so a lot of things that we say to ourselves never actually come out of our mouth, but still that same principle applies. What we're saying, what we're thinking really impacts our life. And we can speak life and blessing and encouragement all over ourselves. And we can speak death, discouragement, disappointment, things of that nature. And so today we're going to talk about how valuable it is to be intentional with what we're saying. I was recently reading something that a neuroscientist wrote, and he said, you know, it is so important to choose the words that we speak very carefully and very intentionally, because the language center in our brain is related to other things in our body. Now, this is very interesting. The language center in our brain is related to our immune system. The language center in our brain is related to our hormone regulation. Oh, I got to say that one again for someone in the back, right? The language center of our brain is related to hormone regulation. It has to do with our immune system. It has to do with our heart rate variability as well. And so the words that we choose to speak bear massive consequence in our own body, as well as in the bodies that we're speaking into. So today, let's talk about blessing and not cursing ourselves. Is this ringing a bell with you? Is this making you go, oh my gosh, either I really need to hear this, or maybe I could clip out of this episode. Maybe I don't have to listen to this. So let me share. This is something I reference in my book, Healthy Body, 12 Principles for Peace, Health, and Crazy Joy. It's available on Amazon. There's a link in the show notes below. But in the chapter called You Are Wonderfully Made, it starts off with a story that says, next to Jesus, are you your own best friend? And as much as I would love to give you a different account of my first response, the first time I ever heard that, I cannot. In all honesty, I got to say, the first time I ever had that question posed to me, and I was literally watching a DVD. This is so like 2010, but I was watching a DVD, and the teacher said, and ask that question. He asked the question, next to Jesus, are you your own best friend? Now, this is not typical behavior for me, but at that moment, I came under a deep conviction and I had a great awareness that, in fact, I was not my own best friend next to Jesus. I was actually my own worst enemy. I was on my case all the time. At that time in my life, I was a level 87 perfectionist. I was a control freak. I mean, like, if I were going to do it, it needed to be not just excellent, it needed to be perfect. And if I were going to do it at all, it needed to be perfect. And I'm not actually known to be a big time procrastinator, but a lot of times we'll procrastinate because we're waiting for perfection. I didn't really experience a whole lot of that. I just wanted to speak to that for a moment. It can happen. It's super common. A lot of times we'll put off doing something because it's like, oh no, I can't do it till I can do it perfectly. So I was really like a big caged animal in a little tiny cage of perfectionism. And I was a control freak. If I couldn't control it, it just absolutely, I don't want to say it drove me nuts because I am pretty big on the power of my words. But in that season, I was so uncomfortable with not feeling like I could control things. So I tried to control everything I could control and probably a few things I shouldn't control. But that was just where I was. So when I heard, next to Jesus, are you your own best friend? I literally threw the notebook that I was writing on. I threw it across the room. This is not normal for me. Okay. I'm going to keep saying that. I don't think I have ever thrown a book across the room before or since, but I threw the book across the room and I said out loud, no, I am my own worst enemy and I'm stuck with me all the time. Everywhere I go, that bully inside my head was with me. Everywhere I went, there she was. Now, she was not operating from a place of conviction. She, the bully inside my head, was operating from a place of condemnation. That is different. So there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. We'll probably come back to that a little later in this episode. But I was constantly identifying things that I could have done better. I could have done more. I was constantly condemning myself. Now, this is different than like positive or productive or valuable self-reflection. This was not that. This was constant just putting myself down. And it was ugly because, in fact, I was saying things to myself all the time that I would never, never, never say to someone else. Definitely not to my own best friend. Okay. Can you relate? Does that relate to you? I feel like it does. I feel like a lot of us can relate to that. So it's kind of interesting in the book of Matthew 22, 36 through 40. The Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus by asking him a question. And this question gets me just as much and maybe even more than the question of next to Jesus, are you your own best friend? This question was, maybe it's not the question here that gets me, maybe it's the answer. But the question was, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And I love this because Jesus knew he was trying to trip them up. And so he answered, as he always answered, with tremendous wisdom. And like, it was, I mean, he's Jesus. It was supernatural, divine wisdom. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. Actually, it says this is the great and foremost commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets, those two commandments. There was a time, probably in about 2012, when I read that and I was like, wait a second, there is an assumption there that I have not been operating under. And maybe you haven't either. The assumption is that we love ourselves. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if you are a woman who is constantly under self-condemnation, you may not feel like you love yourself. And when we don't feel like we love ourselves, we don't treat ourselves well. We maybe even speak negatively all the time to ourselves. Can you relate? Can you relate? You know, it's important for us to remember and to think about this, because we typically operate from places of unaddressed pain in our lives. That's where those words, that's where that tone of voice comes from. The one that's inside our head that just says, oh, that was really stupid. What were you thinking? Have you even thought today? I mean, oh my gosh, I hate even using that tone of voice. I don't use that tone of voice. Haven't yet ever, but especially to myself anymore. And to hear it, it does help me remember I actually lived in that mode for a long, long time. You should be able to do better. It's just this condemning, snarly almost voice to myself. What were you thinking? That was a common one. What were you thinking? That was really stupid. And in real life, those kinds of statements come from a place of unidentified or unaddressed wounds in our soul. Our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we operate from that place. That is the place that drives us. So if we have a lot of unaddressed, unresolved, unidentified, even hurt, we will operate from that. We will, if we're operating from hurt, we will do things that are hurtful. It's just how it works. It's how it works. Remember what the neuroscientist said. He said the language center of our brain is related to what? All kinds of things, even our hormones. I'm just going to go ahead and circle back around to that one. So you couple fluctuating hormones with sassy words, and you may not feel like much of an encourager to yourself or to the ones around you. So it's easy to get on our case. It's easy to forget that we love ourselves. It's easy to forget all those things. And yet we can be reminded, and we can choose to remind ourselves, that God has different ideas about us. So maybe we're on our case for all of our shortcomings, and maybe we have a lot of them, and maybe they're really valid, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're just figments in our imagination or unrealistic expectations that we've set for ourselves. But in Psalm 139, 17, we read, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." Here's the thing. Even when you're on your case, maybe even if you deserve it, God still loves you so much. God still loves you so much and so big. And so even if you're not feeling a whole lot of self-love today, even listening to this, I'm not here to condemn you, my friend. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to help you become friends with yourself. That is actually really important. And it changes everything that happens in your life when you see and experience yourself from a different place. And when we can see ourselves, and when we ask God to help us see ourselves through His lens, then He looks at us and He is flipping delighted. Now, where would I even get that phrase, flipping delighted? In Zephaniah 3:17, you can go read it. Honestly, I don't think I have it in front of me right this very second, but it is a verse that I love to reference. And when I think about that verse, it talks about how God delights in you, how He sings over you, how it's so funny. When I hear that verse, I think of Him doing backflips. Like, He's so happy with you. He's so proud of you. He loves you so much that he is literally doing like backflips in the air with joy over you. Yes, you. Yes, you. You right there. You who's listening to this right now. God is doing backflips and he is singing over you in so much delight. So here's where it all goes down. Will you choose to come into agreement with what he says, the one who made you, the one who knows you, the one who loves you the most? Will you come into agreement with what he said? Or are you going to stay in agreement with a lie, honestly, that has been spoken into you and being spoken over you, and you're speaking it to yourself, and that lie is coming from the father of lies, the enemy, the devil, Satan, call him what you want. And he is purposed with only three things. He is always against you. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is what he does. And that is all he does. He is not creative, but he is persistent and he is against you. And when you come against you, also, you are in agreement with him. Oh, wow. Okay. That might have sounded a little bit harsh, and yet straight up, it is the truth. When we come into agreement with the devil against ourselves, that's not a good place to be. And honestly, nothing good comes from it. But what we can do is break agreement with him and come into agreement with the truth of the one who knows you, of the one who made you, of the one who loves you extravagantly. Oh my goodness gracious, how God loves you. And so we can use our words to speak life and encouragement and love over other people. And we can use our words to speak life and encouragement and even blessing over ourselves. And that is what I'm inviting you into today. Oh my goodness. It is so powerful when we make that switch. So I've worked with clients, I've worked with different women and men since 2010 on this very topic, using our words to bless ourselves, to bless other people, and to not tear ourselves down or tear down other people. And if that has become a pattern in your life where you have just gotten super into getting on your case and condemning yourself and using your words against yourself, then today I'm inviting you. You can turn it around today. You know, the word repent sounds so religious, to repent, but really all it means is if you're going one direction, you're just going to change direction. So today I'm inviting you to repent or change direction from the way that you've been going, the things that you've been saying, the things that you've been doing that come against yourself through your own words, through your own thoughts. Today can be a day of repentance. Today can be a day where you shift that and you make that change. As I was saying, there are so many clients, friends, people that I've worked with whenever I go to like speaking events and things of that nature. And when I speak on this topic time and again, they say, you know what? I had no idea what a big deal it was, what I was saying to myself. I thought no one else knew. I thought it wouldn't really matter. And that is where the enemy does his best work. If he can convince you, no one else knows, no one else is like this, then he's inviting you into shame. And shame is a dark, dark place. And God is the light that can illuminate the darkness where shame and self-condemnation is hanging out. I do want to take just a minute and I want to talk about that difference between condemnation and conviction, because I referenced that earlier and this is important. I didn't know this for a long, long time. When we talk about condemnation, as I was saying earlier, condemnation is just putting yourself down, putting someone else down. It seeks to condemn. And I believe that condemnation comes from the enemy. He wants to condemn you. He wants you to think you're guilty, you're awful, you rascally biscuit, you dirty, dirty dish rag. And then there is conviction. Yes, a sigh of relief when I say conviction. Conviction is a beautiful gift from the Holy Spirit. And when we have conviction in our lives about something, what that is that's Him saying to us, hey, you're off there. There's better for you. And He's inviting you to it. And so with conviction, it's when the Holy Spirit gives us an awareness that we are off in some area of our life. And by off, I mean we're out of God's best for that area of our life. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us because He knows there's better for us. Don't you love that? When I think of conviction, I see it as an invitation. He's like, hey, girl, come here. Come here. Come back to truth. Join me in truth, already in progress. Okay. Join me in the truth. And maybe it means breaking agreement with a lie. Maybe it means breaking agreement with some condemnation that you've stirred up or allowed in your life through your own words. Yes, you can totally speak blessing and favor all over your own life. And you can use your words. And it is not unbiblical to declare affirmations over yourself. What we want to do is we want to declare words over ourselves that God says are true about us. And the truth can look like, the truth is the truth, but how it looks in your life can look a lot of different ways. The truth could be, it is. The truth is you are known by God. You are seen by God. You are loved by God. God is for you. God has gone before you in every situation. He has made a way for you. When you're feeling, oh my goodness, off kilter, or maybe you're feeling kind of on your own case about something, think about what are you saying to you? Think about what you can say to you. Maybe you're saying, gosh, I missed it. I freaking missed it. I missed an opportunity, or I missed the mark on this thing. And maybe you're really wanting to get on your case about it. And maybe that would be the greatest time to use your words, to interrupt your own thoughts, use your words and say, you know what? God's for me. God's going to pull something good out of this. That is His redemptive nature. And so when we get off kilter and we realize it, that's conviction. That's a hallelujah moment. Okay. Then we can seek Him and we can declare His word and we can declare truth over our lives. And it changes things. And it changes things forever and ever and ever. So today I'm inviting you to elevate your awareness of what you're speaking to yourself. What are you saying to you? What do you say to you when you look in the mirror? Do your eyes go to that area that's just a little softer than you wish it was? Do your eyes go to your rump or your thighs and you go, oh golly, I look like I was in a hailstorm. Okay, maybe it does look like that. All right. But at the end of the day, you're still fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you can say, well, girl, I have fearfully and wonderfully made a big mess of myself. Okay. And God can use that mess. I'm not trying to be toxic positive here. I'm trying to bring you back to what's true, to encourage you, to bring strength into your spirit for you to practice, to give yourself permission to encourage yourself, to use the words that you're speaking out of your mouth to come back to you as strengthening and encouraging. I love that. I love that it's possible and it changes things. Time and again, my clients have said, I literally did not know what a big deal it was, what I was saying to other people, but especially to myself. I did not realize. First of all, just us having this conversation, okay, me talking right now, this is going to raise your awareness to what is the inner dialogue that's going on between your ears. That is gold. Just the fact that you're thinking differently about what am I saying and realizing what you're saying is impacting not just the people around you, not just your emotional state. It's impacting your physical brain, impacting your hormones, impacting your nervous system, impacting your immune system, impacting your heart rate variability. Like literally, your words change things. And one of the things they change is you. So use them to bless you. You can do that. When we read about King David in the Old Testament, one of the things that just sticks out to me is that David learned to encourage himself. If you've read much about the story of David and King David, you know, it wasn't just the story did not end. In fact, it didn't even really begin when little shepherd boy David killed Goliath the giant. Although David did use his words there, did he not? You come against me with whatever, and I'm coming against you, you know, in the name of the Lord. David used his words in that situation, but that's not really even the beginning of like the great David that we know about. David went through some hard things. He faced all the levels of crazy town you can possibly imagine. If you need a little soap opera fix, go back and read 1st and 2nd Samuel. It is juicy, and it will show you that David was just a real man. Like, he was a real man. He had mammoth, like monumental victories, and he had ridiculous defeat. Ugh, much of it brought on his own self, okay? And David learned to encourage himself. And one of the ways he did that was he would declare truth over himself. And so I'm inviting you to think about doing the same thing. Oh my goodness, at the end of the day, at the end of this day, at the end of this podcast episode, I hope that you feel encouraged and reminded that God sees you. He does. He sees what you're up to today. And he knows all the things, all the nooks and crannies and hail damage. And he still loves you the same. And so I just am praying that this will encourage you, that this will invite you into thinking, well, to pay attention to your thinking, to pay attention to what you're speaking, to realize it has great consequence and it can have tremendous blessing. And that's what I want for you. I want for you the blessing of peace, health, and even crazy joy today, in the week to come, and really for the rest of your life. And I know that God has that for you. So thank you for being with me here today. I do pray blessing and favor all over you, and I look forward to being back with you next week. This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast. And two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.